Hello, I'm the new Tari tonight, so get used to that. It's Supergirl, it's the crossover, every hero ever is here, and some of them are in Nazi uniforms. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of Supergirl. We've got the crossover crisis on Earth. Holy cow, a lot of hot reactions, hot takes. A ton of you are in the live chat. Hello, thank you for being with us. I am not, in fact, Tari. I'm actually Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at blackgirlnerds.com.
And you can find me at Stephanie Wanger. Of course, I am Stephanie Wanger.
And since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
Guys, let's hop right into the stuff. I wanted to ask you guys off top. As Supergirl fans, as people who religiously watch Supergirl, I know we don't all watch all of the shows. How did we feel diving into this episode? There's no, like, slow wading into the water here. They dumped us all in.
So, I guess I really enjoyed how epic this episode was. It felt like it was what you would want a crossover to be. We talked about that last year it was a little bit more like they stayed in their lanes, right? So you had, like, Supergirl, you had The Flash, and this felt like a giant crossover movie with everybody. That being said, it certainly did not feel like a Supergirl episode in any way. It felt much bigger than that, and there's things I really enjoyed about that and things that I missed about your typical Supergirl episode.
I love this because as much as I love a crossover, and what I really loved is this had a lot of throwbacks to even like the OG crossover, which was great. And I love a crossover, but the way that they did it last year was almost just like four separate episodes. This feels like a 4-hour movie, and I love it.
Yes, even with commercial breaks, it's still incredibly exciting. Is this an improvement from the first crossover, or about the same, or just something different?
I feel like it's so hard to judge that tonight, right? We're two in. We're certainly going to talk about the Arrow episode as well within this because we've watched both. And I feel like I need to see The Flash for me personally and Legends in order to make that call. I really enjoyed this, though, tonight.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is as much as I love the crossover before, I felt like this was a true crossover, because this is actually most of our heroes, because I know they say all, but I didn't have my Adam, my Ray Palmer, I was missing him, and my John Diggle.
There's no Martian Manhunter here.
No Martian Manhunter, and it was like, as much as I liked them, I at least understood why Diggle, you know, was not in. And two, I felt like we should have at least seen Martian Manhunter in this part of the crossover somewhat. But
We've been talking a lot about how Papa Joe and, you know, Martian Manhunter, they need to be in the same. Jean and Joe need to hang out. They need to talk Jean about their children and the shit that they put them through all of the time. Like, I need them together. Next crossover, CW.
Dude,
let's just make that happen.
A hot dad's club where it is like, it's Martian Manhunter, Dr. Wells, yes, and then Joe, and then they have a little council, and that is it.
Yeah, we've got Dream to Aspire, and the chat says this year's crossover was a lot better. Don't worry, the rest of the legends are here tomorrow. That's from Haywood Wong. Thank you guys so much for all of your stuff. They've interacted.
What?
Davey Elmer says that Joe and John interacted before.
We're going to have to pull that up.
I feel like I would have remembered the Black Dads interacting, but if I'm wrong, y'all could definitely send me episode links. Yeah. Okay, so top of this episode, no one has RSVP'd.
I know.
To the wedding. Iris
so rude.
And Barry are out there just trying to, like, get their catering together. They're also saving the world all of the time, and no one could put in the effort to RSVP.
Where is your wedding etiquette? That is the question. Like, come on.
They're checking it on paper, too, which really bothered me, because I'm like, okay, digitally, I get it. You can't mail this by tomorrow. Like, yeah, it's going to be too late. Who's ordering this other meal? Not I. Yeah. So my question then is, do you guys, if someone doesn't RSVP, are you calling them to be like, hey, yes or no? Or are you just like, you didn't send me anything, so we're going on without you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like I'm the person who would call. Sorry, universe. I know.
Yeah. Why are you apologizing to the universe? You're like a considerate human being.
I would just be like, well, what happened? Did it get lost in the mail? Like, I would be deeply worried about why my friend hadn't RSVP'd to my wedding.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I'd follow up, too, just because I'm like, I know I'm spacey, and I'd forget. And, you know, it's like, hey, you remember that wedding thing? You know, I didn't remind him. Yeah.
How did you guys feel about the montage? I thought it was like, to me, this was the moment I'm like, oh, we're in for something really good here, to see everyone fighting in their own element, but also with a clear center pole of the wedding. I was like, I'm ready.
I love that. Yeah. That definitely felt like the beginning of a movie. And too, it was like, here's Star City. And I loved how they used the, you know, titles and everything. And I was like, this is great. This really feels like a crossover.
What I loved about that was that we actually said it. We were like, they can't get married during a Supergirl episode.
We did.
And you know in the setup of this universe that something awful is going to happen. Mm. And I, you know, I hope that their wedding goes well. I think it will happen tomorrow if I had my best guess at it during the Flash episode. But I love that in these fights, throughout the two episodes tonight, we really saw these characters stay true to who they were. It wasn't like, if it was a more Arrow-esque scene, you still felt like you had Supergirl being Supergirl in it. And there were one-liners from everybody that felt like their characters. They did a really good job of maintaining within this bigger universe.
Yeah, because sometimes when they cross over on the other shows, it feels like they may make a misstep or something, not understanding the character. But this one, I do know they were very careful as to having everybody in the room and stuff, so it really felt like they knew everybody.
I'm curious as to how they broke down the writing responsibilities for all four episodes. I haven't looked up the credits yet, so forgive me, bad host, but I'm curious to look it up later to see if it was like one person, or do they get four people in a room to like to talk about story outline, well, and then each one do their own episode?
I actually do know a little bit about this because so when smart, the Lucretia. Legends of well, not really. Just the Legends of Tomorrow writers Skyped in on the premiere with us for that after show, and they told us that there was a showrunners meeting, you know, that would, you know, about the crossover. So they would all get together, you know, and discuss everything, and then give it to their prospective writing team.
That makes sense. Yeah. And of course, this is based off of a comic book arc, so it's, you know, it's previously written down. It's not like they're coming up with something from scratch. I thought they did a really nice job of fleshing everybody out, as you guys already said, and kind of building everyone up. We get to Manny's and Petty's next, which is really cute. Everybody needs champagne. Kara takes too much keratin. And some people are keeping secrets. How did you guys feel about all of the girls having a lady lunch?
I loved it because it's super, I feel like it's really rare on these shows to have like, and I always hate to refer to it as this, but like a girl power moment like that where you, I mean, Supergirl is all about girl power, but in terms of just like all of them together in one space. And so that was really exciting to have. And I love that it was mani-pedi, something that you would totally do with your girlfriends.
Yeah. And that's the thing is this felt like it was the perfect show for this moment because this was Supergirl and this was our girl power. And we had a lot of the girl conversations in this episode, which made total sense. Even for somebody like you who didn't watch Arrow, you at least understood who Felicity was and this made sense to you and you could understand it as somebody who doesn't even watch the others. I thought that was good.
Yeah, I think that they did a great job of kind of, I've seen bits and pieces of Arrow, lots of The Flash, and obviously consistently Supergirl. So it was interesting to see how I was able to understand Arrow. And they did a great job with the script of kind of building that in because a lot of it was very clear.
Definitely. I really like this moment. Other than bringing the girls together, I thought it was a really great way to go into, like, right before the rehearsal dinner, this idea of, like, what are the girls thinking and how are they kind of handling the situation, introducing everyone's individual issues. But again, that tent pole of the wedding, which I think is just such a smart choice for them to go down. Before we get to the rehearsal dinner, I'm going to tell you guys about a show. It is called Vikings. It is history's critically acclaimed series, which premieres with a 2-hour season episode airing Wednesday, November 29th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Pacific Standard Time. Season 5 begins with Ivar the Boneless asserting his leadership over the great heathen army while Lagartha reigns as Queen of Khagat. Ivar's murder of his brother Sigurd sets the stage for vicious battles to come as Ragnar's son plot their next move after avenging their father's death. Bjorn follows his destiny into the Mediterranean Sea, and Floki, who is suffering from the loss of his wife Helga, takes to the sea, submitting himself to the wills of God. This season is full of starting alliances, unbelievable betrayals as the Vikings rule the world. I'm great at reading.
Jonathan, it's very difficult.
It's a lot of
words. I mean,
words.
I did it yesterday, so I do not envy
you. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is joining the cast, which if you weren't already watching Vikings, you should have been, but now Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is here. It's a perfect introduction for you.
He was the best Elvis and David Bowie.
He really was.
The real David Bowie, of course.
Season 5 is going to be 10 seasons long. This is a critically acclaimed series from creator and sole writer Michael Hurst. This show has one writer. I'm really into the one creator, one show thing happening right now. It's pretty great. Who's going to rise? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. There's a lot of contenders over not a lot of land. It's going to get bloody. Maybe we get another War Eagle or something similar. I'm really, really about it. War Eagle, seriously, is the thing that got me into Vikings, guys. I'll talk about it every time.
Every time we read this live read, I need to watch Vikings is what I think of right after.
You would love. There's love, betrayal, and a bunch of sexy people. It's a Lucretia show.
Sex and violence.
Watch my show. History Channel's Vikings, November 29th, that's this Wednesday, guys. You have 2 days to get caught up. There's a lot of episodes you're going to want to start watching as soon as the show goes off.
And the chat has been screaming at us that John and Joe did meet in the musical episode. But to be honest, there was, like, very little bits of it. They were stuck at Star Labs. Like, we barely got anything with them. That's why it was kind of hard to, like...
Yeah.
That's why I was like, that... Yeah. You know, okay. It's kind of like not really when y'all say we got a wedding on Arrow. That was not really a wedding. We didn't have a big pretty ceremony. This was a wedding that didn't finish. But, like, guys, you know, we need a full-on scene. Just like I really got Tommy back at the end.
But I really appreciate your guys' memory. You're smart. Yeah. That's incredible. Let's get into maybe one of the messiest rehearsal dinners of all time.
I know. It's not even the wedding reception. We're just at rehearsal.
We're just at the rehearsal dinner. And Alex is being a messy lesbian, guys! My whole heart! Some of you were talking to us on Twitter earlier about it. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. People were like, oh my gosh, what's happening to Alex? She's a weird queer baby. And I was like, this is precious. It's beautiful. I had mixed feelings about Alex's story. We can just go straight through Alex's story because hers is pretty linear.
Sure.
Help me out with the girl's name.
Sarah.
Sarah!
Let's face it. Even I, when she was sitting there drinking scotch, I'm like... I don't know.
Yeah, why not? Sarah's hot.
Exactly.
She's confident. Hot. She knows what's up. She's not confused about what it is she's looking for. And scotch is delicious. So Alex is getting drunk because she's at a wedding and she just called off her engagement. It's challenging.
Yeah.
Sarah is getting drunk because she can. And then they're making out messy and, like, outside the bar. Alex disappears with Sarah. They have a slumber party where, you know, I assume they made hot chocolate and popcorn and then hit each other with pillows. Yeah. You know. Two or three times, apparently. And then Alex meets Kara at the church. So this part was really weird for me at first. How did you guys feel when Alex was like, so I feel really badly and I'm a bad person for having a one night stand?
Well, for me, that was very Alex. And that is the thing, is Alex is somebody who doesn't do that. And this is her, you know, she understood her grief, but like Alex was also thinking about Sarah's feelings. She probably didn't want to hurt Sarah's feelings, even though
she's so precious.
We know Sarah's all about it. Like she's banging her way through the ladies of time.
It's true.
But yeah, like Alex is a very considerate and a good person. Mm-hmm. And to her, that was bad form. But I love Sarah calling her out at the end. Your butt okay?
I like that there was this moment of confusion. I'm so sorry. There's just this moment of confusion where they're like, oh, your name. Your name? Because we can't really... Oh, you really didn't remember my name. Oh, you were awake that whole time.
Yeah.
And it was a really nice way of showing them being on two totally different pages.
Right, exactly. And that I felt like was one way a one-night stand can go, right? Like, and it felt...
It's a very honest one-night stand.
Yeah, right. But I think what bothered me more about that, and I'm trying to remember if this was the same scene or a later conversation, and forgive me, we watched 2 hours very quickly. It's when she talks about, again, that she, like, wants a child, and that was the reason she left Maggie. And I loved it when she was with Maggie because I felt like that was something real that people go through. Like, whether or not you're going to have a child, it can be a deal break in a relationship. But to bring it up again in this context felt a little And the only word I can think of, and I think the chat's going to get upset at me, is, like, one note a little bit. Like, I wanted something else from Alex. Like, maybe that it wasn't, like, emotionally satisfying or whatever she needed to say about it. And anything is totally fine. Like, how you feel is how you feel. But I just felt like to bring that topic up again felt a little strange to me.
Okay, so at first I was very off-put by the fact that she was like, I must be a bad person. I'm like, well, girl, people have sex all the time, just randomly or whatever situation. You both consented. You're both okay. Yeah. Like, this is not a situation in which you need to beat yourself up over. Until we get to the point where she says, you know, did I make a mistake in not staying with her? Because to me now it's so much less about the children and what kind of life she wanted, which is something she's really settled into and accepted. And so much more about like, oh, I gave up a lot in order to choose this life. Right. I don't even know if I'll ever get a chance to have. And that to me was a real genuine emotional breakthrough.
Yeah, that was
and
I a really very enjoyed human moment. Yeah.
Watching that.
Oh, see, and I felt like I understand what you're saying, and when you say it now, like that makes sense to me. But when I was watching it, I was just like, okay, like she's regretting that she lost something for this thing that she doesn't yet have, and she thinks that she's not being like emotionally satisfied. It felt like a very odd moment to me, and like that I felt like she was a little bit lost.
Definitely. I think she is still lost. She's still dealing with a lot. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Other messy people at this rehearsal dinner were Sarah. I'm sorry, not Sarah. I'm having a day. Other blonde with the curls.
Felicity. I threw shit during the scene.
She was very upset, guys. You know how her feelings about Steve Amell, the person, about the character on Arrow. Like,
I mean, that's the thing. And especially this season when Oliver, you know, I give Ollie a lot of crap. That's because I think he should be the best man. And this season, he is the best man. He is dad. He is mayor. He is working it out, Felicity. But then here's the thing is I was mad and I was throwing things until we get to her part on Arrow where she explains it. And then I was like, see, you're always my girl, Felicity. And just so you haters know in the chat, Felicity, she's my girl. She worked it out at the end, guys.
She did. Yeah. She did. I'm sorry, guys. I don't watch Arrow. I watched season one, and then I stopped. It's not because it's a horrible, awful show or anything.
Last season was the best of the
show. This is what every season. I'm going to marathon it once every show like goes into lull this season. Because clearly there's a lot. I watched the first three episodes of this season, and I was like, oh, bet. This
because
is great.
Because we have Real Wild Dog. We have Mr. Terrific. We've got a real Black Canary, too. Like, it's amazing.
So excited.
We get, like, cool characters as well as, you know, I'm sorry. I'm an Olicity shipper. I'm admitting it today. I mean,
yeah, I think, though, that what's interesting is I don't regularly watch Arrow as well, but I've seen enough to know, and I also see all of you on Twitter and realize that this was a moment that people had waited so long for, that proposal, and to have her. And you do get the explanation later, admittedly, but, like, to have her shut it down so quickly was heartbreaking just for the romantic in me, even though I don't know very much about this couple.
And because they'd been engaged before, it was like, okay, like, I've already seen this, and it was very romantic, so it wasn't, like, a heartbreaking for an Olicity shipper other than the fact of, like, no, why are you saying no? Like, y'all are in such a good place, but that was why. And I was like, okay, and because, well, she did get shot the last time they were engaged.
What I liked about this moment a lot was how tactless Felicity was with handling it initially, because it is her. She's, like, the bumbling genius, where she's like, I don't really know what's happening, but also here's, like, 1,000 equations I can solve for you in a minute.
Felicity is a quirky girl. That's why I love her. And that's why basic bitches don't like her. You know? That's why they like a certain other character.
Lucretia has no time for the Felicity hate, and I'm really digging it.
No, I do not.
But then, so she screams, I don't want to marry you in front of a room full of people at a wedding ceremony type thing, preparing for the wedding. It's not a good thing. But never fear, because Kara is mopey about Mon-El. She's being messy in the quiet, private way of, I'll just stand up here alone and look at everybody beneath and just ponder my sad existence.
We get a song from her as well.
We do.
In the sadness, I guess. Like, amongst the sadness. I don't know. I feel bad for her. I felt bad. I wasn't here for last week's episode, but that was heartbreaking, and you kind of see her still in the aftermath of that, that he's married and she's alone, and what's going to happen now.
Yeah, I mean, I really like that we saw just a minute of Mon-El, like, in this episode, showing him caring, but it was good that that was it. Mm-hmm. So we sort of, like, we're like, yeah, he's back, we don't want to just, like, go away from that, but this needed to be about the sisters and, you know, the crossover sort of thing. But yeah, I loved Kara talking about that.
I just... Lucretia and I said it as we were watching, like, Kara and Barry have so much chemistry together. Oh. They are like electric sparkling lights when they're on screen together. I really like when he's out there, he's like, now look, I just got done telling Ollie that he can have love, yeah. And now I gotta come up here and give it Supergirl, the happiest of all of us? Like, what is happening here? Pull it together. You're gonna sing at my wedding tomorrow. And I was like, this is a good friend.
That was one of my favorite moments of this part of the episode, because I really love the chemistry between Melissa and Grant. I mean, they are just adorable. And that's the thing is, you know, they have just such electric chemistry. And whether if they were to ever ship them or, you know, whatever, it's great. But them just being friends is so good, too. Yeah, it just works so well.
Their scenes are so great together. And those of you who watched Glee, remember that's where this all got started. They were both on Glee together. And so it's really fun to see them every time, especially in the musical episode and again tonight. Like, super fun to have scenes with them. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things that happens in these crossovers.
Mystic Lightning kind of ponders an interesting question. He's like, as we're looking more at Kara, who wants to push herself away from being human, do we think she's moving in another direction? Or do we think that the Nazi, like, kind of crazy her is going to kick our Kara more back into her regular, I am one of you kind of thing? Because she's been mentioning a lot how she isn't a human lately. We've seen that maybe last 3 or 4 episodes.
Right.
And that is one of the things that sets Supergirl apart from the other heroes, is she's not human. Mm-hmm. She, you know, but she still has human emotions. She still really is human to all of us. And to those of us who've grown up with Supergirl and Superman, even though they're aliens, didn't we all, like, relate to them in of some course. Manner? So that's what I hope that we're gonna get from this crossover, is the end of Kara's arc, or Kara, granting her for some reason. Kara's arc here is that she sort of realizes that she is human.
It's true.
Yeah.
Firestorm is having internal conflicts. I made a joke. one wants to go back to his family and live a normal life. The other is like, but we're superheroes together, and I need that. I really liked this arc. There's much more for Legends, which I think we'll get more of that story, so I'm going to kind of speed through them for time's sake, not because they're not beautiful. Papa Joe gives a speech that brings everyone to tears, as he does. That is what Papa Joe comes in. He comes in. Say, I need my Barry, and then you break down and cry, and you feel good because crying is cleansing. How did you guys feel about his speech, particularly when he grabbed, I cannot remember his girlfriend's name. Oh, no.
It's going to come to us.
Lady girlfriend. We know who she is. She's amazing. When he brings her up, I was like, man, this is great. I thought he was going to propose in that moment, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think it was just such an emotional moment, and he's such a moral center of these shows in so many ways, and gives these speeches, and this one certainly, like, rang true to everything that you would want in that moment, right? And I feel like, as a longtime watcher of The Flash, it's certainly something I've been waiting for. This wedding has been a long time coming, and so very excited for that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is they're just so cute.
Adorable.
So let's get into the wedding. First of all, we have our bride, Iris, in the best dress. I hate weddings on TV usually. Here's why. Not because the love isn't coming together. It's really beautiful. It's nice, whatever. The dresses always look like crap, or they'll try on one dress, but then wear another dress down the aisle. Not when they're like, oh, this is the one, and then it's a different dress. And I'm like, this is not how weddings work. we're getting a new dress. That's an entirely new storyline that I needed included. Here, we didn't get any. They didn't bother with it. They were like, look, we're picking one dress. We're putting it on her. She's going to be the most, like, ethereal, gorgeous bride ever. How do we feel about the dress?
Now I just have this vision of you, if you were making a TV show, having, like, the fittings. Just, like, trying on 8,000 dresses, but not in a montage style. Like, actually trying on.
I mean, if I was writing The Flash last season, it mostly would have been about wedding.
Yeah. It would have been so cute if, like, Barry was, like, running back and forth with different wedding dresses. Like, they could have done that.
There's so many wedding plans.
That's where my mind went when I was like, oh man, that would have been adorable.
Yeah. I'm talking like bachelorette party, bridal showers. So many opportunities for stories. We didn't need them. I get why we skipped them, but if you had put them in there, I wouldn't have been mad about it.
Right. I Yeah, I was just so excited that this wedding was happening. And I did. Her dress
her dress was beautiful.
I mean, and so good. And I just feel like sometimes you see a dress in, like, the try-on montage, and you're like, that's the pretty one. And then you know that that's not the dress that they're going to wear.
And then you're upset about it.
And she looks so stunning. Like, she
really did.
Yeah.
She had little golden flowers in her hair. It was great. Before she came down the aisle, though, we had this moment where Lucretia and I were looking at each other, and Steph and I were looking at each other, we were like, this is a weird thing. We have a waiter, air quotes, come up to Barry looking suspiciously like Iris.
Yep.
Like, hey, I think this is going to be a wedding for the ages. I'm really glad I got to see it. Don't forget to say I do. Did he forget to say I do in another timeline? Is this his daughter? I don't want to get too into predictions, but how did this moment hit you guys?
Yeah, because it certainly came out of left field, and you're like, this is definitely significant. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like, it was so odd, and this is one of those moments that there's no way it's not significant, but when are they going to pay it off? It's sort of like whenever Barely had that cryptic message from the future last year. It took them quite a while to pay it off.
Right. And you know on these shows, a moment like that that also lasted, it wasn't just like a passing moment. Like, they stuck on that for a moment.
We got maybe a good 3 to 4 minutes of that.
Yeah. Like, you know that that means something. They don't waste in these, especially in these crossover episodes, any time at all. And so it has to be something. And with the time travel and all of that, it I feel like, I mean, I know we're going into predictions with this, but just like, daughter, like,
it's gotta be, it gotta be,
right? There's like, let us know in the chat if there's some other option here, but I can only come up with daughter.
And in predictions, I know a little bit of a comic book that we can add.
Great, we will get in there. Time travel is not out of our zone, but Heatwave was not sure which zone to pick.
I loved that.
Heatwave is my favorite character from Legends. It's not a secret. He is obviously the best. I love the fact that he chose the bride side because he tried to kill Barry a couple of times. Adorable and cute. I love that he calls lawyers and cops out on their BS.
He's like, I hate cops and lawyers. Like, because he's like, don't I know you? It's like, yeah, because he was in Central City Police Department how many times?
Amazing.
And that's why, you know, I know it was discussed more in the Era episode, but the moments with Heatwave and Killer Frost, just like, my heart.
I had Killer Frost up on the board. Yes. Yeah. Those interactions were really great. The interactions, my favorite really though were the fight scene interactions. Because one, I don't know how long Choreo took on this show, but my God, they were doing a lot. Specifically, so the fight at the wedding.
We know James Vanford did all this. It's true. Yeah, he's amazing.
The fight at the wedding was really cool. We've got Arrow facing what I thought was, I think we all thought it was going to be Arrow underneath the hood. Another Ollie, if you will. We had Supergirl coming in and fighting other Supergirl, which is always dope. We've got laser eyes connecting and people bursting through things, Barry saving people. But the second fight was what really got me. The one in the warehouse with the crazy long wide shots where they didn't cut away and Firestorm is zooming in and out of people, creating this really cool highlight light. Did you guys have a favorite fight and or fighter, and why?
Ooh. I love the punching Nazis with Sarah and Alex, I think, just because how much they were enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to ask, do we ship them?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm like, it's cute.
It's adorable. No. Yeah. I mean, I just want Alex to be happy, I think, and whoever's going to make her happy, I'm down. Like,
I don't think Sarah is the settling down type, and if Alex was more of the sleeping around type, I would totally ship it, but I don't think they're kind of in line for each other. I think they were with each other maybe that night, and if they got back together, I'm not complaining about it. I thought they were great. It was super funny. The two actresses have really good chemistry together, but I'm not necessarily looking for a Sarah-Alex lifelong love relationship.
Yeah, they are definitely not a lifelong couple. No. This is like a we'll have some fun, you know, again, like if they were to ever come back together, if they were to hook up when they're not in committed relationships, that would make sense. But yeah, I mean, you know, Alex wants kids. Sarah is an assassin who's died like twice.
Okay, so in the next
She's Buffy.
She is Buffy. In the next 5 minutes, we're going to try to talk all about Arrow and wrap this episode up. So get ready for some speedy things happening. Tommy is back. How do you feel about it, Lucretia?
Oh my God. Like, I literally yelled, oh my God, when the mask came off. I'm pretty sure everyone else here at AfterBuzz was like, what the hell is happening?
Watching this episode with Lucretia, amazing. amazing. So fun. Like, because some of these things, like, I just feel like you were level 10 excited about.
Oh, she should be. As we get into Arrow, we get a second fight as the Nazis rebound. We learn there from the 43rd Earth X, where the Nazis won. They take over New York. And Supergirl and Ollie are married. How do you feel about it, Steph?
I mean, that's big. I feel like that's big news.
It's huge news.
It's huge news. And I was really excited. Like, I think it's, again, what fans want. It's certainly what I see on social media. People want this. I don't know. What do you think?
I thought it was funny, like, to have them married on there. And they had really good chemistry. And I like them both playing evil. Because while Oliver is always broody or whatever, this sort of, like, dead inside Oliver was a new twist for Stephen Amell to play, which was interesting. And Kara's like sunshine and light. To see evil Kara was awesome.
And she did it so well.
Yeah, and that's why I love like the reverse with the reverse flash there. When Kara was like, ew, gross. But just so you know, I mean, Mon-El is pretty hot. But Stephen Amell is sex on a stick, honey. None of that is gross.
I was also curious at the gross. It was a little weird. No. So then we learned that not only are they married, but Kara has got radiation poisoning. Yeah. Literally flew too close to the sun.
I like that, yeah.
So she's going to try to take our Kara's heart. Before that, we learned that our Ollie, I feel like I have to be really specific, the Ollie we know has a kryptonite arrow because he is also Batman. How did you guys feel about the kryptonite arrow reveal? I thought it was dope.
Yeah, literally, as soon as he started to put the arrow towards her, I was like, oh my god, it's a kryptonite arrow. Oh my god. And I was like,
yeah, I mean,
you brilliant bastard.
That was incredible. Yeah.
Like, and is there better payoff than the words, like, in case you come back as evil you? Why do you have this?
Yeah, like, Ollie had some of the best lines. And it was like, yeah, in case you came here, because he's dealt with that so many times.
Even though it was Barry and Iris's wedding, it certainly felt like Ollie's show. We've seen Ollie develop a lot into the leader. We saw from the last crossover where Barry, like, challenges him to really step into his role as leader. And so I thought it was appropriate that as things quickly began to spiral out of control, that it was he who was kind of rallying everybody.
I will say that I'm interested again to see the episode tomorrow night, but this two-hour block certainly felt most like an Arrow episode to me. And I know people in the chat have been saying that, you know, these are all the same universe. And I totally get it, but it just in tone, I think they all have a little bit different, and this certainly felt the most in tone to Arrow.
Absolutely, they have different tones, which I think they've blended here really, really well. You guys, Kayla is choosing to wear Killer Frost clothes. She has this moment where she's still Kayla, she's in the clothes, and they're like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, I know I'm going to get angry or sad later, so I'm preparing.
I love that. I love how aware Caitlyn is, because this is how she would be. And I like that we've had a lot of these character moments with her. I mean, Caitlyn has had the crap kicked out of her in life. And she just still picks it up. And just that's so her to just sort of be prepared and just go with the flow. And this is why I hate that we don't have more moments with, like, Caitlyn or with, like, Iris and Felicity. Like, the three of them need to be friends. Like, it's more interesting with them and their girl power. Because, as I say, like, this is one of the few times we actually get to see Iris get a point of view and be a person is when she's with them.
Yes. Yeah. How great is Iris and Felicity as, like, secret spies?
Oh, yeah. That was cute. As I say, their friendship is adorable.
I really would like to see them cross over. I think that all the universes could use, and I know that's like a scheduling nightmare. Some first director is like, shut up! But I think it'd be really cool if we could see like a lot of more crossover between the worlds, especially
they've done that Supergirl a lot this stuff. Season. Like, because we even got to see Wally on Legends of Tomorrow.
That's true.
And too, Wally, we forgot to mention in the chat, was talking about how he had one of the coolest moments just in the episode with his bullet dodging. I was like, oh yeah.
He did have a
pretty. Yeah, that was amazing.
Was it he or Barry who threw the bullet back in the gun? Was that Wally?
I think it was Wally.
That was dope as hell. Yeah. I was like, way to use their weapons against him. Is there anything we missed from Arrow, big key moments? Oh, they end up at a Nazi concentration camp at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We got through it. So, predictions. Before we get fully into predictions, what did you guys think overall of these two episodes, how they gelled, and how do you think they're going to project into the second half of this arc?
Yeah, as I say, I mean, I really thought that this really felt like a movie. This, to me, I mean, you saw my face. I was so freaking happy. And I've had crap 2 days, guys. So, like, this was all about this episode. Like, I mean, so happy. And I just can't wait for tomorrow. And I feel like we saw in the previews that Lance is a Nazi, too. And I'm like, yes, we finally get to see Paul Blackthorne do something.
Yes. Yeah, I think for me, what always excites me about these crossovers, and especially tonight in these first two episodes, was that they tend to push storylines forward. They don't let them just be like a fun couple hours that nothing happens. They really do force these characters to move forward and change. Mm-hmm. And we saw that a little bit tonight. And I think tomorrow we're going to see even more of that with Barry and Iris getting married. And I think it'll be really exciting to see how that mix changes for the second half of the season for all of these shows, right?
Yeah, definitely. From the opening montage that they did, all of the very heavy comic book laden atmospheric things they've added to the show with, like, the title cards, with some of the canted angles they use with the camera to create, like, a frame on a page. It was a really beautiful kind of ode to classic DC, I want to say, like, Silver Age comics. Yeah. Like, heroes, some dark stuff, but mostly, like, we're just gonna fight for good. When Ollie tells other Ollie, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, this is what I live for. Like, this is my wheelhouse. I love, love, love Evil Kara. She's so mean and so great and so for the fatherland, which is really disturbing. One more question before we fully get into predictions. How did you... It was off-putting, all the Nazi symbols, right? I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, like, well, and I honestly, as off-putting as it was, it almost makes it better to, because we know that our heroes are going to win in the end.
Yeah, it's true.
And that is sort of the thing, is like, you had that visceral reaction, but it almost made it feel like, while you were uncomfortable, we need that. Because we need to feel uncomfortable when we see that, right?
See, it made me really uncomfortable, because that's just not what I expect on these kinds of shows. But also, it makes kind of where we're going clear, as you say.
As long as Nazis burn, I'm okay with it in the end. But the concentration camp, the Nazi symbols, it was a lot. I'm not, again, not dissing it or anything, but it was just a lot. But I'm looking forward to seeing Supergirl kick Nazi ass. So that I have, like, my Rick and Morty gif. I'll have these gifs. Anytime we can get a gif of people kicking Nazi ass, we all win. It's truly a gift.
The Rick and Morty of the show, Cisco and Wells, like, they need to kick some Nazi butt. Like, Cisco, I know, comes they out sideline of that coma with soon. Cisco.
Oh. Oh, poor coma Cisco. Real sad. Okay, predictions.
Ooh, they're so...
Instead of predicting the next two episodes, why don't we predict where we think Kara will go from here when she returns to her Earth?
I like that. So I think Kara is, as you said, she's dealing with kind of human emotions, but she's an alien, and then she's had a real, like, her first love, kind of, she's lost him, and I think what we're going to see from her is kind of a rebuild, right? Figuring out who she is, maybe outside of this relationship, outside of her powers. I think I would really like to see her figure out a little bit more about who Kara is.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I feel like Kara's journey in this crossover is learning that she really is human, and I sort of feel like this evil her showing her, like, what she could have been, and then sort of, like, dealing with mortality as this evil her is dying, this will sort of bring her to that place. Mm-hmm. And since I said I'd explain it earlier that I'd do it in predictions, the Tornado Twins have been rumored to be coming to the Flash.
Yeah.
And that may be Dawn Allen, you know, one of his twins, the girl.
That would be amazing.
Cannot wait for that.
We did get, so you guys bring up really good points. It had really solid moments of foreshadowing. To Lucretia's point, Iris at one point says, yes, I'm ready for the wedding. Kids, that seems far off. I'm like, you getting kids quick, aren't you? Oh. And then to Steph's point, oh my gosh, what was your prediction?
Oh, about that Kara, we're going to see Kara rebuild who she.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mon-El at the top of the episode is like, I heard something was going down, and is Kara okay? And you cannot check on her like that anymore. You are not her boyfriend. Which makes me, and she even kind of comes off it as she's like, is he just walking down here? Like, yeah. Nothing happened? Yeah. What the hell? So I feel like you're absolutely right, right. That she'll be taking a step back from Mon-El. He's going to have to learn how to deal with his feelings, and she will have to learn how to deal with hers.
I think long term they're not done. Let me say that. But I think right now it's all going to be about her journey herself.
This is a classic CW moment. I don't need no man, even though I'm desperately in love with you. That is what the CW. That's their bread and butter. Yeah. It's deliciousness.
That's like every Lifetime movie's plot. Yeah.
The Christian, do we have any good predictions in the chat that you'd like to share?
Well, let's see. I'm not seeing any predictions other than Mystic Lightning thinks that Thawne will survive, and I hope so, because I love seeing Tom Cavanaugh in anything, but yeah, him in the Reverse Flash suit, he is very handsome.
Billy Jean Girl 24 says Mon-El just needs to leave and take his wife with him. So,
You are done, Billy Jean. You're like, get out of here.
We keep Oliver on this show. We still have to have the pretty man, so Mon-El is this show's pretty man. And speaking of, I did love Ollie, you know, super speed. I don't have it.
Yeah. Don't leave me here to die. I hope we get Mon-El's wife as a person soon. Because right now she's just like, she's the other woman, but she's not doing anything.
I don't like when they do that. And that's why hopefully we get a personality, because the thing is, and this is where I'll mention, I love John Cusack romantic comedies, because usually when there's like two women, they both have personalities, like Serendipity. You're like,
ooh, I
we
love
really
that
didn't
movie.
Want him to leave Bridget Monaghan. She was nice and she was like, cool. So we like to have like an actual conflict, not just like, oh yeah, he needs to leave that bitch.
I think it also makes it more interesting to watch in general when you're able to identify with one woman or the other, right? In this case, like, we're supposed to identify with Supergirl, but maybe this other girl, if they were to introduce a full character, could be really interesting as well.
Yeah. Well, guys, that was our super speedy recap of Arrow and our much longer recap of Supergirl. This was super fun. I'm really enjoying this crossover. Until next week, Lucretia, where can the folks find you?
Since I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And if you want to hear about the second half of the crossover, stay on this channel at 10 p.m. on Wednesday, where we recap the Legends of Tomorrow part and then sort of a big whole what do we all think. And of course, Lex Michael will be there, or at least his picture and memorial will be, because I will kill him if he doesn't.
Always nice. Yeah, I'm Stephanie Wenger, and you can find me all over the internet at Stephanie Wenger.
Hi, guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique, every week at Black Girl Nerds. I host a number of shows here. We've got Gotham Thursday. Lots happening. Hopefully we get a conclusion with The Pig this week. Animation Weekly every Monday at 5 o'clock with Carrie D. Lane, where we tell you the weekly news. Also, we had an interview with Bob Bergen 2 weeks ago. You should definitely check out the interview. He's the voice of Porky Pig. He's also the governor of the Television Academy. He's a really cool dude, and I really hope to have him back on the show sometime. Star Wars Rebels is on hiatus right now, but join us back in January. It's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, find me on the internet as I talk all things TV. Thanks for joining us tonight. We will see you guys soon. Next week? We're back next week, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.